Vava Basra, Perik Yud, Mishnah Dalet, 10:4, and like the previous mission, we're talking about who has to be present, give consent, and also pay for contracts. This mission will talk about scenarios where they both parties have to be present. And first we say, Ein Kosvin Shitre Erusin Vinesuin Elamadash Neam. You can't write a shtar for an Erusin or an Erusin unless both parties agree. So this isn't necessarily what you think. The shtari Erusin is referring to what we would basically call Tanayim. That is to say, before the couple gets married, Erusin, of course, being the first part of marriage, the Kedushin. So the two parties, let's call it the father of the bride and the groom, they come to economic agreements. Who's going to pay for what? Who's going to provide what? So those terms, of course, benefit and obligate both parties, and therefore it can't be written unless both parties are present. As for the shtar nesuin, that's really referring to what we call the ksuba. Okay, again, that's like the marriage contract, if you will, where the husband provides certain guarantees for the wife. Of course, she also has obligations in marriage, but primarily, of course, it's him providing for her and assuring her that he will protect her and provide for her in his death and divorce and that kind of thing. So, in any case, since both parties are being obligated by these contracts, so therefore, you need das shneham, both parties need to consent for the witnesses to sign what the sofer is writing. V'achasa nosan sachar, and the person who should pay in both scenarios is the bridegroom. The chasan, the man. Why? Because who's doing the kinyan here? The kinyan is happening by the man, right? The isha niknes, the woman's isha's rights are being acquired. The person doing the acquiring is the husband. And like I said in the previous Mishnah, the Torah's view is whoever's doing the acquiring, he's the primary beneficiary, so he should pay for the contract. Next is the Mishnah, Ein kosvin shitri arisus v'kabalanus elamadashneim. These are contracts that are basically providing for someone to be a tenant on property. A resus is that the tenant is basically a sharecropper. He agrees to give like a third or a quarter or a half of the produce to the landlord. But the point is he becomes a tenant. And the kabbalanos could refer, typically refers to a choker. He's agreeing to give, 10 bushels of wheat a year for his rent. He'd also be giving just $10,000 a year of rent. It doesn't make a difference. The point is, in both these cases, there's a deal between the landlord who owns the land and the tenant who's going to work the land and pay some kind of compensation in exchange for being able to live in the land. And therefore, since that's a contract which gives both people rights and obligations, the landlord and the tenant, elam adash neim, you need both to agree to it. V'hamakabel nosan sachar, who should pay for the contract drafting? The answer is the tenant. Okay, it says hamakabel, he's the one who's living on the land. Don't be confused. The mekabel also would include the aris. It means whoever's receiving the land to live on it, he is the primary beneficiary. He's getting something, land to live on, and therefore he should pay for the contract. Says the mission next, Ein kosvin shitri berun v'chol ma'asa bezden elam adash neam. This is a little more confusing than you might think. So the shtar berun that we're talking about here, shitri berun, the shtar berun could mean one of two separate things totally unrelated. The basic, typical case of a shtar berur is that you are... When two people are fighting over whatever, they're fighting who owes who money. So how would they choose what bezin to go to if they can't agree on a bezin? So this thing called zabla, ze borlo echad, Reuven chooses one dayan, and ze borlo echad, and Shimon chooses his own dayan, and then the two dayanim choose a third dayan, and between the three of them, those three dayanim, that's the bezin that will try the case. So this shtar berurin is this commitment by each of the parties who they're choosing and the commitment to be bound by this bezin of three that will be selected, by the two that they chose plus the third person that their two choices choose. So to be bound by that is called the shtar berun, and they have to write it with both consent, of course, because both are obligated by the contract. And of course, you will see in a second, they both have to pay, so they benefit equally. The other type of shtar berur is totally unrelated. It's to be mavar their tainas. When the bezin is convening, there could be a request that both litigants write down their tainas, their claims, and submit those claims in writing to the bezin. Lahalacha, the mission doesn't reflect this, but lahalacha, you can't force people to agree to this under normal circumstances, because once you've written down your taina, you're stuck. You're not allowed to change your taina. If it's verbal, you could. So therefore, normally people can't be insisted upon writing and putting in writing. In any case, our mission is saying once you're putting it in writing... So since both people's time has been put on it, they're both benefiting, they both have to be present, they both have to pay equally. So this is the Mishnah. That's that. And v'chol ma'asa bezin, these are other things, like, when the bezin says that, Reuven didn't fill his obligation, now Shimon can now, like, confiscate something, or whatever it is. These kinds of things, the shitre, like called Chaltata and Adrachta, these kind of things, that, you know, when the courts are enforcing something. So again, if it's going to be one against the other, both need to be aware of it, and therefore you need to have consent to both of them. Ushneim nos and sechar, says the mission, they both pay for it equally. This is really going back to the first part about the shtar beruin, where both are agreeing to bezdin, or both are agreeing putting their tanas on paper. They're both benefiting, they both pay. Of course, if there's a contract which is, you know, obligating one person to have, entitling one person to say, you know, confiscate something from the other person, so the person who's getting confiscated from doesn't have to pay for that. Now, the last part of the Mishnah is talking about, it's hard to follow because it's not in the words, but on the second definition of a shtar birur, where the litigants are putting their claims in writing. So the chacham hold, listen, the cheapest way to do it is for have to give one sofer and write, you know, he sits down once and writes both claims on a single piece of paper. The problem is, that's to potentially to each litigant's disadvantage, because now each one, like, you know, I had a plan on what I was going to do in Bezdin, now I've written my plan out on a piece of paper, so the guy who I'm suing can now know what my claims are, and he can prepare himself ahead of time. So a person might want to not do that. A person might want to say, listen, I want two separate sheets of paper so I can keep my claims secretive. But that, of course, would cost more money because you have to have two contracts, essentially, so it costs more. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Shnehem Kosvin Shnayim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, yeah, that's fine. Each person will write his own set of claims down in his shtar birur, and it'll cost a little more, but so what? Lezela atzma, vezela atzma. Each person writes his own, doesn't need consent from the other person, and he'll pay for his own in full. The Chacham say, no, it's not fair, because it's going to make the defendant, I'll call him, have to pay more. So you can say, listen, I don't want to pay more. I'm prepared to share a contract. You can't force me to take up more expenses and have a separate lawyer drive a separate contract. I don't do it a cheaper way. And the halacha, so to speak, is not like Rav Shimon Galil, meaning that if they're going to do it, they have to do it on one single contract to save the money. But halacha lamaisa is, you, under normal circumstances, can't force the other litigant in the suit to write down his claims in the first place, because that's really putting him at an unfair disadvantage. But if you would agree to write it down, then they could be forced to write them down together and share the costs equally at the minimum expense to both of them.